Hold a seat at the bar to join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tanzin Jess and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk. Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 17.26, The Dow of Stan, where we are covering the novel Proven Guilty. My name is Tanzin, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
81 days!
Happy Halloween!
We're recording this on Jim Butcher's birthday, so happy birthday. We are posting this the day after Tanzin's birthday. Happy birthday. Today is Harry Dresden's birthday.
Happy birthday, Harry.
And happy Halloween, everyone else.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Chapter 42. Harry has a difficult discussion with Charity about Molly's circumstances.
Harry gets Molly to stay, and he still settles in for the night to be joined by a big, limping floofer.
You say the night. I say, like, 45 well, minutes.
Well, he sleeps until the afternoon, doesn't he?
I don't know, but yes. It's obviously not a full recuperation, but yes, he gets what he can. And decides, see, now this is, I'm like, okay, I get it. You've got shit to do. But all the immediate danger is over. You've stopped the fetches. You've rescued the girl. The con is either over or at least not being attacked anymore. I don't know what day we're on, but you know. And I'm like, seriously, you get like whatever smidgen of sleep you get. And it's like, technically, you could go, I get fine. You know, your bladder, whatever, is getting you up and being like, fuck, man, everybody else has passed out. Because I've been like, okay, I'm getting another couple hours of shut eye before I got to deal with this shit. Harry's like, no, I might as well just get up. And I'm like, but what the fuck? You even say as you're having this conversation with him, you're like, nothing's going to happen for probably a day or two. Like, then go back to bed.
I think that's a cowardice thing, though. That's like, if I don't do it now, I'll never end up doing it. So let's just fucking do it.
Maybe that's it. Just, yeah, pull it before he changes his mind or wimps out or something. But yeah.
When my urge is to run through the door, maybe I should just get this done.
I mean, yeah, maybe I'll give it to him on that of just, yeah, getting it over and done with. But
earlier on in the book, Harry says that there wasn't much he'd been able to do for Mickey Malone. He's like, I tried my best, but there's only so much that I could do. And the guy was basically going to be fucked up for life. And then when he goes to look at Nelson, he does the same thing. He's like, man, I wish I could help, but there's really nothing I could do. And it's just like, damn, that is more proof that he basically just left Mickey Malone after that book, like, sucks, bro. Bye.
Well, and I mean, we've joked in the past about Harry needing psychiatrists and what that would look like and stuff like that. Again, all of these. So as we're learning here with Molly, as he's having these conversations with her in this last chapter or two, right? He's like, she's got, we don't know all the details, but she's got this strong talent. And apparently she has sort of an innate talent for this kind of a thing. Because completely untrained, completely not having a clue, she was able to do. And I mean, even like you say, when he describes the injuries, these little sort of scalpel, needle.
Surgical precision.
Yeah, right? So there's got to be wizards out there that are equally skilled in like mental trauma kind of a thing, right? And I mean, like, yes and no, because in Deadbeat, when Corpse Taker was there and he was trying to build that mental wall, she's laughing at him being like, haha, the council's still using the same bullshit. You won't let anybody learn mental magic because it's against the rules. So none of you have a clue how the fuck to defend against it, right? So I'm like, I understand there's like going to be a certain area of that, but you would still feel like the centuries that wizards have been around. I'm like, there's got to be some specialists somewhere. Like, you can't call somebody in from like, you know,
yeah, to work on mental trauma, mind shielding spells.
Well, not even just the mind shield, but the repair, right? For people like Nelson and Mickey Malone and stuff like that. It's like, you don't have somebody that can come in and do a little sort of mental surgery to patch that up as best you can. You know what I mean? To sort of.
But isn't that just more mind manipulation? You make it worse.
Which is seemingly their problem, why they won't even help them.
It is, and that's the, right? But I mean, again, like I say, I'm not on the council. I'm not a politician. Don't know how you would work that. But again, like, you think something. I mean, again, right?
Yeah, you have like you have a black staff. You might have black staff. You know, yeah, ancient Mai is allowed to go and you know into your mind to build fortresses for you or something.
Right, exactly. Right, like the wardens sort of have that license to kill that other people don't have. Right, they're flinging magic around all the time. And granted, yes, it's usually a bad guys, but I'm willing to bet that if a warden killed somebody with magic during, I don't think they'd be instantly
friendly fire.
Well, so, you know what I mean. Right there, but exactly, there's got to be those exceptions to the rules and stuff like that. But yeah, so for all we, anyways, it's just not Harry's thing. So I don't know. Maybe it's just as much. Well, I can't do it. Those nobody can.
Those are in the unpublished side stories.
Yeah, right. So
if Harry had more friends, he'd know he could call the mental health line for wizards. But no, so
yeah, right.
Like I ain't paid enough for that.
Yeah. I was like, y'all keep me out of, like, your little club meetings. I don't even want to know, okay? If it's not in my, like, you know, wheelhouse or line of interest, I just don't know. It just doesn't exist, okay?
So Harry does explain this situation to Charity, who recognizes that Molly has used black magic. And Charity immediately does not want to allow Molly to go to the White Council. But Harry explains she's going to end up there regardless if she volunteers or not. It's just going
to
happen.
And I have to say, absolutely one fucking 100% on charity side here. I can absolutely see this. If you came to me and said, so I'm going to take your daughter, she's probably going to be executed, but fingers crossed it won't happen, I would be like, no fucking way. No fucking way. Like, I would be so, like, I completely 100% understand charity's outlook on this. Why are you rolling your eyes at me?
I'm not rolling my eyes. I'm just, you know. I also get the whole, like, shut the fuck up, Mom. I fucked up. I have to go atone. And
I can't understand that. And I think that shows huge maturity on Molly. Because, again, at 17, I very well might have been like, oh, I don't want to fucking... Like, I understand. Yeah, no. I might have understood it the same way Molly does. I'm not
sure. Still wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, I'm not under... Like, not in that space of time kind of a thing, you know what I mean? I don't know if I could have turned around as quickly and been like, yeah, I... Especially just because it's that big a consequence, right?
Yeah.
You know, if it was something else, like, you know, you're going to have to repay this, you're going to have to rebuild, you know, be like, okay, I did shit when I was 17 that I could take the consequences for, but I was like, if you're like, you're probably going to be executed, I'd be like, how soon can I get to Mexico? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what a horror. But yeah, that aside, Molly's, yeah, that was absolutely, but I totally get why, again, that mama bear where she just starts going at, and I get Harry getting a little bit frustrated too and being sort of fighting back because she's kind of coming at him. And he's like, you don't understand. I'm trying to do, Charity doesn't have the whole picture. Harry's got more insight into that world. Harry sort of knows how it's going to. He knows what he's planning to do to try and defend her. But, from, you know, and I mean, again, on top of that, to be like, you can't come. You're going to take my kid. Oh, like, I can't even be, like, holy cow.
I'm not going to lie. Some of this is just like, you don't know me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, to a certain point, Harry doesn't share everything. And to a certain point, that it works in his favor. And I can see why he wouldn't give false hope here and say, well, here's my plan.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know even a little bit that it's going to work off.
We don't even know that he's completely formulated his whole plan yet at this point of right? That comes in the next few comes. But yeah, I totally sort of get everybody's reactions in this. I can understand him defending yourself. I mean, like, he doesn't necessarily have all the information to give her.
But it plays off so well between Harry and Charity arguing because, okay, first of all, this is familiar ground for both of them. They've been fighting for 8 books so far.
Yes.
So this builds up, and it's Molly interjecting and being like, what has he done in the past few days? Where you're like, oh shit, actually.
How hugely impactful
even
was her argument.
As us as fans who know all of Harry's intents and know how badly he wants to be the good guy, having Molly laid out the way she does is actually like, oh yeah, this guy actually is a good guy. He's not just, you know, morally gray, deranged guy running around doing shit.
If it works for me, sure,
you know?
We'll do it this way. Yeah.
It's a very succinct argument. Like,
It's super powerful, I think.
Well said.
And again, because like you say, we sort of know all that on a subconscious level or whatever, right? Well, like Harry's trying to say, you know what I mean? But I just love how Molly be like, Mama, what has Harry done in the last 2 days to make you think he's selfish? Was it when he came, when he battled the orc so he could get away? Was it when he came to rescue me? Was it when he said he would die? You know, and you're like, yeah, like even in the moment, right? You're just kind of with Harry. You're like, oh, I'm like, I wasn't even thinking about the specifics, right? And the way she lays it out, it's like, well, that's a really good fucking point. Like, exactly. Like, look at the what.
For me going through when he turned around to face the ogres so he could escape and when he traded away his obligations for the summer lady, those two things, I was like, Molly, you were paying attention. Like, you were right? fucked up at this point. And she was still like, I'm gonna write this down. I'm gonna know this.
And honestly, I was thinking that a little bit too, right? Because I'm like, okay, the ogre, she could have noticed she was in that moment. But she wasn't there for the trading of the able, right? That was when they sort of explained to her afterwards how we were able to come get. I was gonna say, that is, yeah.
Like, how do you know about that,
That's
Molly,
really
but...
good that you pulled that one up. But yeah. Yes, but again, it
in that brief argument between Harry and Lily, she just figured it out.
Yeah.
She's meant to be a wizard.
It's like, oh, see, this is all we know, Molly. So,
yeah.
But it really, again, right? You know, partially, like you say, necessary just for the plot of the book kind of a thing. But again, right? It shows just, you know, like Charity and Michael haven't raised some dumbass punk kid. You know what I mean? Is she does know. And I mean, again, right? Even when Charity says it a little later and she's like, of course you will. You're like your father's daughter kind of a thing, right? It's like, even though she fucked up so bad, her intentions were overall, I mean, yeah, she let some bad feelings slip it, but even that wasn't intentional, right? She didn't sort of intentionally screw up that. She just didn't know, right, that that was going to have an effect. So it was like, yeah, ultimately, you know, she was attempting to do a good thing and she is taking responsibility. And like you say, even just that she's noting all of those things and like you say, being able to lay them out that clearly for Charity, it's just like, wow.
I don't know that Charity even understands that Harry's gonna lay down his life trying to, you know, protect Molly from this too, because Molly and Harry had the discussion a couple of hours ago about exactly what that would mean, and Harry told Molly essentially like, yeah, if they try to kill you, listen, I swear to God, I'm gonna fight for you. Like,
it'll be over my dead body, literally, yeah.
But it will be over my dead body. There's no way I'm gonna win that one. Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry, like, I'll do everything in my power, but
yeah, they
our
will
chances
have
are
to,
gonna be pretty fucking shit.
Yeah.
And so Molly, and so Charity did miss out on that aspect of that conversation too, so she doesn't quite understand that, you know, Harry might, but yeah, still, though, for Molly to acknowledge and say.
And again, 100% in that situation, I can honestly say I don't think it really would have mattered. Because again, you're just in protection
mode,
right?
Yeah.
That, yeah, even if she did. Even if
good, Harry should die. What the
fuck? Yeah, pretty much, right? Like, you know, I mean, yeah, for sure. Like, and it would be such a hard thing because, again, given the people that Michael and Charity and that are, and like you say, literally, that Michael is this, like, God-given, not God-given,
well, right.
God-chosen,
God-blessed,
whatever, right? Literally, you know, a tool of
hand-picked.
God, hand-picked by God, whatever.
Servant of God.
Exactly, to do the right thing and to battle these kinds of evils. You know, and, you know, that of course she'll have a certain aspect of that, of realizing, you know, that her kid did something wrong. And it's great that, you know, you're acknowledging and taking the consequences of that kind of a thing, right? But regardless, you are threatening harm to my, like, I don't care what she did. We still have, you know, I'm still going to protect her. And
a little bit of a side thing, but I did notice when I was doing my most recent reread, because the books I was just reading was, I went through the Iliad and the Odyssey and the Aeneid and the Orestia. And it's like all constantly, the men constantly, well, God chose you, Zeus chose you, Poseidon, whoever, they think you're the greatest and they love you, but it's all your fucking wives that are, they just keep sinning all the fucking time. They just keep, they have these emotions and they're all overprotecting their kids when they should let them go out and be war heroes, or they're all, you know, conspiring against you, all these fucking women, and it's all the men being like, ah, if only the women weren't here, ruining our chances at honor and all this shit. And I'm like, yeah, it's like poor Charity's like, you know, the Adam and Eve. It's like, Michael can do no wrong. He's handpicked by God. He always is the most, like, he who doesn't laugh at stonewashed jeans or whatever like that. And Charity's always the one that's like, ah, I
he
just
was never
stumble, worked. Stumble, stumble, sin. I cannot be as perfectly forgiving as my amazing husband is.
Yeah, true. That's fair, too. I wasn't even sort of thinking it in that point. But you're right. Charity has stumbled a lot more and is not as just 100% on the straight and narrowish, you know. I guess she's just a regular old mortal and toughing it out there, right? Whereas Michael has, you know, for good, bad, however he came about it, you know, exactly those things are much easier for him to just see and follow that. And then that is the kicker, too, when, you know, they're going through all this argument and trying, and Molly's like, Mom, and, you know, she brings a, don't you use scripture to, which I was like, again, I can totally see this being like you know, and I'm being like, my family or something, you know, like, don't you turn that against me and try and, you know, but again, and again, no offense, feel like this is a plot device for Harry being like,
I've never heard of it. Yeah. I'm like, really?
They only ever pull up, like, the most commonly one. But okay, Harry, okay. Yeah,
I know.
Gotcha.
It's totally for the fans, but it does make me laugh every time he does things like that. Because I'm like, you pull up the Bible all the time, okay? And, oh, you didn't read this one?
Yeah, you know some, like, obscure quote from, like, you know, whatever, Diodorus, what? That's not how you say that.
Deuteronomy?
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. All of a sudden, I went to correct it, the only thing that was, because I don't know, maybe because you were just talking about, but like Diogenes was the only thing that could come up, and I'm like, now I'm completely hooked. Deuteronomy or something. But anyways. But yeah.
And you know, the only reason why I remember that is I think of the musical Cats. Old Deuteronomy lived a long time.
Ah. You know, it's super funny. I was literally just watching RuPaul's Drag.
We know everything, but for the stupidest reasons.
Right? It doesn't matter how you know it as long as you get there. But yeah, I was literally just watching an episode of UK's Drag Race RuPaul. Fucking words. Anyways, that's what they did.
Hey, hey, I said I was going to have the stutter today. Stay in your lane.
But then you gave me the Tanzan role, so. Mm. They did Rats, the Rusical. So yes, they literally just last night I was watching a spoof of Cats. But Deuteronomy did not come up in the spoof, but I love that that's the connection there. But anyways, yeah, and brings us to that great, right? I you feel like there was some other way for them to just say it anyways without Harry having to be like, I don't know. But nonetheless.
Anyways, I do like that Molly says, what more could you ask for him? And then Charity literally takes his word that he will lay down his life protecting Molly. Yeah. She's like, no, it's not actually good enough yet. Molly, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay, you pinky swear, you will fucking die. And then you're taking her into
somewhere in the background, Fourth Hill showed up. I do question, this is a little bit of, I guess, in a book, people not wanting to step on other people's toes so everyone has their roles.
Yes.
But Fourth Hill saying...
I did nothing, folks. I did absolutely nothing.
I like the way I say it.
That's because you're used to the way you say it.
I think that the priest...
Yeah.
I think that the priest saying that there's not enough people who can help bring people back from the brink of black magic is concerning because, first of all, a big part of your job is supposed to be keeping the coins away from people, and the Fallen are absolutely practicing black magic and, like, teaching the people they possess black magic and whatnot. But just, there's a lot of fucking priests in this world. Are only, like, 5 of them actually in on the secret?
Right? And this is the... And it does make a really interesting thing when you say that, right? When yeah, he's like, we have to do the council because it's a council thing, right? And yeah, Charity being like, but the church... And I think, again, as you're talking about him bringing in, like, real-world things, like all the religions we have, so therefore all the 50 million lores that we have, right?
Burn the witch.
I think this is, yeah, a really good point, that in this day and age, I'm quite certain a lot of Catholic priests do not believe in this kind of a thing, yet exorcism is a legit thing within the Catholic faith and stuff like that, right? It's not just movies, right? But yeah, how often do you see anybody going now and calling for a priest for an exorcism, right? Obviously, again, we've explained away so many of what those things were, you know? Oh, we now know about, like, epileptic
seizures. Paranormal investigators.
Yeah, right.
Even Fort Hill.
But again, right?
He had his secret club of bad guy fighting priests, you know?
The church is still supposed to believe in demons and things like that, right? They do still exist. You can be quote-unquote possessed or tempted or led astray or that whole, right? So yeah, I think it does bring up that the force, I'm sure, like, back in the day when they thought everything was evil, you're right, all the priests were well-versed in, like, demon expulsion and exorcisms and...
That's more to my point, though, is that, yeah, I guess more modern priests are not participating or believing or capable of exorcising.
Right, and so, yeah, and I...
Because I was under the impression that it was no, we don't actually... That's like conceptual thing. We don't actually believe in hell.
Yeah, no, and it's not. I am fairly confident in...
But then you get your old nannies that are like, that's the devil trying to make you think that he's not real.
Exactly, right? That is still kind of a stance on that. The greatest con he ever pulled off was convincing everyone he wasn't real, right? But I feel like, and again, I don't know this, you know, 100% factually or whatever, but I feel like there is sort of, yes, a branch still in Catholicism that is supposed to deal more with that. I feel like there are potentially higher ups or certain ones selected that could, yeah, your average everyday run-of-the-mill priest, I'm not sure, knows how or is quote-unquote authorized to perform.
By the Vatican. They know.
They know, yeah. But yeah, exactly. So yeah, not necessarily the way, again, that it was right now. It's like, okay, sure, she's got, like, epileptic seizures. She's not, like, possessed by the devil and speaking tongues or something like that, right? So yeah, a lot less of it has. But again, if there can be a God, there can be a devil. If there can be an omniscient, holy, good force, there's absolutely no reason to think that demons and fallen angels don't exist, right? What is the opposite force to that? Something's got to be tempting you. So it all does, but it raises a very good point. Like, yeah, and again, why these fucking coins keep getting out? Because, you know, maybe they haven't shored up the defenses enough there. Or like you say, because it's such more of a specialized branch, there's not as many, you know, guarding against
it. Pope Francis had a really nice quote about how he hopes hell is empty. He's like, I hope everyone hits salvation before the end. And that even the devil isn't down there. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh.
That is kind of a nice
one. And then a bunch of people shout on him because they're like, you're not a real pope if you don't believe in hell. And he's like,
I didn't say I didn't believe in it. I just said, yeah, hopefully.
Have you seen the show Evil?
No.
It's actually really
I don't
good.
Think I'm even aware of a show called Evil.
There's a priest that he hires a psychologist and a scientist to go with him to investigate potential possession cases.
I'm assuming this is a scripted fictional show.
It is a fictional show.
Yeah, not a reality kind of. Yeah, okay.
But it also has a great sense of humor. And they never actually, like, they present a lot of evidence, but never actually outright
confirm or...
And not always, but for the most part, they, like, sort of leave it open-ended. And for, like, a long while, it's sort of a case-by-case kind of thing.
Yeah,
There's eventually an underlying storyline, but...
Yeah, but again, yeah, never leave you...
That's
with
what it... You're... That's part.
Yeah.
Where he's actually working together with.
And I feel like that is, it's like, exactly right. And I feel like that is a lot because obviously the church has come along and said, oh, okay, yeah, we're not no longer, like, you know, imprisoning people because they say the world is round and that the earth.
Okay, Galileo, you got us.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, they're like, oh, sorry, our bad. Right. Like, yeah, the church does accept science now too, but there are the this's and the that's and the whatever. But
either way, Fort Hill.
Fort Hill.
No, I'm just going to awkwardly say it every time.
Question yourself each and every
God,
time forever.
Which is correct.
Go forth.
But yes, the whole wrap up to that, yes, of him saying, you know, like, again, to whom much is given, much is expected, to which, yeah, Harry sums up with the famous Spider-Man quote.
Well, I think we just jumped. Because we're still talking to Charity. That's like...
No, it's the same thing.
This is the same thing, yeah.
Is it?
Fort Hill, she say it again? Oh, sorry.
Fort Hill comes in at the middle to end of that conversation, right? So that's it. We just got talking about Molly doing, like, using scripture. And so Fort Hill relays the story to Dresden, who then goes, oh...
Yeah, she's right. She's in the right.
With great power comes great responsibility. And yes, Fort Hill standing up and saying Molly's old.
I thought that was later. Sorry, because I wrote down the because I wanted to point out that it was like I was probably feeling pretty sentimental when I was reading it. Though she's my child. Charity objected. She was.
Yes.
Fort Hill corrected her. If only for a time. Children are a precious gift, but they belong to no one but themselves. They are only lent to us for a little while.
And that is definitely, again, I'm sure most parents out there. Well. In my opinion, all parents should, but, you know. But, yeah, any parent would, exactly that. But that's my baby, right? Doesn't matter how big you get. Doesn't matter how old you are. You will always be my baby, and you will always, and again, that fierce protectiveness that comes with, no, stop asking me to make your dentist appointment for you. Yes, but.
This whole point here, though, where they get into, you know, Charity's begging Molly, like, lay it down, set it aside. This is so dangerous. You have to give it up and walk away.
Well,
and
of course you're not going to keep it. That's, yeah, of course you're going to have
exactly,
to.
Exactly. But Molly's saying, oh, there's bad things out there in the world that I have to help. First of all, how do you even know that yet, Molly? You've barely even walked into Harry Dresden's life at all. But then
she certainly knows after this weekend.
You are your father's daughter. And Noah's like, oh, yes. How could you want anything else? And it goes back to, you know, a couple chapters ago, too, where he's staring down the Carpenter kids and being like, eventually all these kids are going to go out into the world. It's going to be a better place for it.
Well, yeah, and exactly that. She might not know all the ins and outs of it, but obviously the Carpenter children have at least a very basic understanding of what their dad does, right? It's not all completely kept to them. I'm sure age appropriate and all that, but they do know that their dad literally goes out and fights bad things in the world. And right. So again, yeah, this is probably a little, you know, she's having the curtain pulled back more than she did before and realizing just how much and just how close to home maybe it is. But it's not like she was completely unaware of any of that. Like you're saying, she just barely dipped her toes into Harry's world. But right, I think, and again, with somebody like Harry popping in and around every so often, yeah, I would say she is more aware than most of that kind of stuff. But Molly bringing up exactly that, just being aware of this, and Harry noting the look on Charity's face, because again, I don't think that perspective had really dawned on me the first read through, kind of until, you know, because I'm just thinking like, oh, she's got a look on her face like, oh, Molly, this is, but then he's like, Charity's the one that buried her talents. And then I'm like, oh, yeah. I didn't even think about it from that perspective in the retelling of this parable, right? It's not just with great power comes great responsibility, but it's like, oh, yeah, who knows how much talent Charity had, and definitely she got off to a bad start and bad people trying to manipulate what she could do. If she had kept that, what, you know, aside from just being able to make chainmail and spar with her husband, what other things could she, what could she be doing to help protect her family and to fight and to, you know what I mean? I'm like, ooh, that is kind of an extra little kick in the gut there. To be that she well, could have
and,
done good
and Harry
things
does sort of recognize that and go, no.
She's feeling a little, yeah.
He sort of like throws her that sort of very forgiving. My teacher told me something once. I heard myself say in a quiet voice that the hardest lesson is learning when to do nothing, to learn to let go.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, good for sort of absolving her of her choices that she had made and saying, hey, stop. You really just don't have any say.
Your child is growing up and
this is her choice, not yours.
Yeah.
This is a courtesy we're doing.
Yeah. And again, right, like I say, with so much drama going on in the personal lives in the background, you know, and seeing so much of that up close and personal of parents that can't, won't accept that their children are their own autonomous human beings, and not even just at 17, but you know what I mean? When you get far past that, and it's like, yeah, right? And all I can say for my parents being, you know, as strict as they were about certain things, once we were adults, they still might say they don't like shit, but you know what I mean? Like, not sort of actively interfering the same way. Definitely expressing their opinion. Definitely saying, well, I really think you should do, but you know what I mean? Ultimately, I will give them credit
for that.
Eventually
just give up on them.
whatever, whichever way it goes, man. But, you know, so, yeah, just, you know, again.
I think that's partially child, too. Some kids really don't want their parents to release control. Some kids are happy to let their parents stay in control.
Well, and that is the flip side of it, too, is, yeah, kids that refuse to grow up. I mean, I don't know if one is necessarily more harmful than the other. I think at least the versions of it I've seen, it seems more harmful the other way around when the parents continue to try and exert way more control than they should over kids that are growing up. But yes, yeah, it's not that much better for, yeah, kids that just, exactly. Just let mommy and daddy handle everything. I'm 40, but my mom's going to do my PTA campaign for me. You know, like, well, yeah, maybe you're not the best person if you're not doing your, I can understand her asking questions, but right, exactly. It's all stuff and things.
One quick thing that I didn't want to interrupt to throw in though, but Charity's all like, oh yeah, my mother came and picked the kids up. I'm like, okay, so she did eventually get back in contact with her parents after the whole Dragon
That's
and cult fiasco.
That's the other thing too. You're right. That
because she says she left home and went and joined a cult. She's like, I just eventually left because we just didn't get along.
My parents
didn't
just ignored me. Yeah, the only time they were interested is when they could trot me out in front of guests.
Fucking and Michael. We forgive and we forget, Charity.
Right. But
also, we need a babysitter. We have a lot of kids.
It is really funny because I do remember that as well when I was first going through it where she's like, my mother came, and I was like, oh, which granted in a lot of ways, a lot of things, some of these relationships do get somewhat with age, mended yeah. with, well, with grandkids and things like that, you know, and whatever, right? Some parents eventually learn to like, oh, you're an adult, you've got kids of your own. And so, yeah, I do think that is funny that you're right with all the trauma that left, that led up to her leaving home and joining this, you know, evil cult that was using it for the wrong things. But again, maybe a little bit like Molly and Charity here. Yeah, exactly, right? Maybe it was so. maybe if I hadn't completely
I almost got eaten by a dragon. I need my mommy.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, yeah, I don't see them pop up a lot. We don't know a lot of that history. But yeah, it is fun. And I mean, again, right, it's like, yeah, well, like I say, Michael being a little bit older, I'm like, I don't even know if Michael's parents are still around or not. Who knows? Maybe these are the only grandparents available, so.
Well, because I'm curious just how much the Carpenter grandparents are aware of their children's and grandchildren's lives in the supernatural, you know? I was like, I could see Charity's parents not being involved at all since they brushed off the magic that Charity had anyways and didn't want anything to do with it and sent her to schools and all these things.
I was going to say, yeah, Charity's conversion seems to have come with Michael. And I don't think Charity was raised Catholic. So
no, well, exactly. But
know,
that's what I mean.
It doesn't seem likely that her parents are...
But also never went back and sat him down to be like, hey, by the way, supernatural
oh, yeah,
exists
obviously.
And this is what was going on with me or whatever, since she hasn't even told Michael that she has magic.
Yes,
but
yes.
I wonder, does Michael's parents know that their son went to go be like an avenging spirit and blah, blah, this
avenging
or...
spirit.
I think that's basically the job description.
Yeah, well, except he's not a spirit, but I get you. Yeah. Yeah, good question, right? Where are Michael's parents in all of this? And where did, you know, cause, I mean, because again, it's like so funny how Shiro ended. He's like, I accidentally became a Baptist, you know, so I just went with it, you know? You're like, I don't know. I mean, same thing. Michael could have converted in his teens or early adulthood, or he could very well have been raised Catholic from the start, and that's why he, like, who the hell knows, right? But yeah, I could say were his parents good, devout Catholics, or Again, is it just one of those, same thing, I can't tell, like, all, like, you know.
The first time his parents got him baptized as a little infant, one of those, like, scary, biblically accurate angels came up and was like, wah, 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 and you're like, okay. All right, whatever you say.
Well, do not to be Sunday afraid.
Even though I am made of a billion eyeballs and nothing else, yeah. Right.
You can call me Gabriel.
I was going to say, it does make a lot more sense now when you go back all through scriptures and hymns and things like that all the time. The angels were popping up and saying, be not afraid. Because you're right, we all get these beautiful white flowy gowns, big angels. But like you say, the historical and description of them in the, is you would be fucking, it sounds like a fucking like.
Yeah, have you ever looked at those pictures? Thing. Like, they are scary.
Yeah, they would be. And I was like, you know what, that makes a lot more sense now. Why they were always like, don't be afraid, I've got good news.
Sometimes during the Renaissance
really
era.
Stop running, stop running. Stop,
Mary, 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 come back here.
They decided. We need a new image. Start appearing yeah, like right. The humans.
Who's been handling the PR for this?
Let's invite invent marketing.
Yeah, right. Y'all heard of a spin doctor? Yeah. You will now.
Michelangelo, like, looked up at him and he's like, I'm not painting that, so what are we going to do here?
He's like, nope. Nope, this is we are all about the beauty of the human form. So, you know, yeah we're just going to paint a bunch of naked people. And
I have a pitch.
Don't be alarmed, but it involves
you help
penises.
Me, I help you.
Yeah, very emotional, very tough, very...
Oh, Mommy. I'll pray for you and for you, Harry.
This is one of the first times I had meant to look it up and didn't get around to it. But I don't know if it's the first time we've heard her call him Harry, but it's definitely one of very few where he hasn't been Mr. Dresden.
I named
that
a child
wizard.
For you.
Yeah. But yeah, she's like, okay, Harry.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it is.
Could you imagine Charity sits down to pray and Lash is like, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening?
I don't feel so good. I don't like this.
Or just every time Harry's having a horrible migraine, he's like, what is happening up there? And she's like, ah, the fucking carpenters are praying for you again.
He's going to have a reaction like Thomas, where Harry's like dragging him in by the scruff of his neck. He's like, I don't want to go in. I don't want to go in. I don't want to go in. Lash is just like, no. We got to go. We got to go.
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us do what we do. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 43. Harry makes arrangements with the wardens and has theological discussions with Father Forthill.
So Harry keeps his Rolodex on him. As previously discussed 8 books ago.
It's in the deep nebulous pockets of the duster.
Susan must have sewn in some extra just... This is, canvases in there.
This is
an magical TARDIS pocket.
This is his. Yeah. This is his little notebook that he keeps. Okay, but just as you're saying that, I was like, yeah, he very well could have a bespelled notebook.
I mean, he could fit the dog.
Has.
Yeah. I mean, it was a puppy, granted.
Yeah, but still.
That's a
sometimes,
big pocket.
Though, the thing he pulls out of his pockets are just so funny to me. I'm just like, yeah, whatever. Sometimes you don't have anything on you, and sometimes you can think that you have it.
Yeah. I just happen to need a piece of chalk, a rubber band, and a stick of bubble mint, and whoa, they're all in my pockets right now. But next time, yeah, it's like absolutely zero.
So he calls the wardens back in Edinburgh, and he does his whole password and blobbity blobbity blue.
Which we don't get to hear this time. Every once in a while, they throw it in, and we get some, like, fun exchange. Here we don't. I was like, were you just trying not to overdo it, or could you just not think of something funny?
The crow flies at midnight.
Right?
I think it's probably emphasizing how green this person is that's on the other line.
Or maybe it's not the time for a joke because he's calling to, like, turn Molly over to be beheaded. So maybe now is not the time for funny countersigns.
Read the room.
The Pink Panther wears blue socks. But yeah.
There are extenuating circumstances. I have a warden who's turned themselves in and I want a hearing. Well, we don't do hearings anymore.
Yeah.
Sure we do. We just haven't done one since
I was going to say, although he does say like 12 or 13.
Yeah, which is like quite his.
So either timeline. Again, he's just doing a really rough, but I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm like, it's either a really rough estimation and yeah, his was the last hearing or there was like one or two after him. And after that, they're just like, okay, fuck this shit. We're just going to kill them all. And
which to be fair, Harry is supposed to be exception to the rule. You know, the Doom of Damocles isn't something they give to every young wizard who fucks up. They do mostly turn to executions, and the having a wizard to step up and take guardianship is a rare thing, as we've seen. They don't like doing that.
One of the big, because exactly, if these kids had anybody to do that in the first place, hopefully they wouldn't have gone down that path. So if they don't have family or friends close enough to have seen, nobody else is going to want to step in for, you know, I mean, again, right? Good example why we started the book with this kid, right? He had gone way the fuck down that path, killed all his family and all kinds of things and done, right? It wasn't just a oopsies or, you know, like, so, yeah, exactly. You know, they're like, I don't know nothing about this kid. He's just killed like 14 people. I'm not agreeing to take that on and be responsible, right? So really understandable. It does make sense that way, yeah. But yeah, still kind of like, oy vey.
No kidding. So I appreciate this whole, yes, sure we do it. We just don't do it often.
So Harry also wants Ramirez to do the security on this. Like, we do hearings. And I love he gives her an out here where she's always...
Yes, this is the best part because, yeah, when you have young people like this that are afraid to do things,
yeah,
you got to just give your name and be like, tell him Harry Dresden told you to do this. Now go do it. It's like, yeah, you don't have to take the fall for this. You can absolutely blame it on me.
Buck. Exactly. He's like, you just have to let...
Every time I tell a kid at work to do something questionable, I'm like, sign it with my name, not your name. I don't care. They can come follow up with me.
Yeah, he's like, you just have, yeah, tell Morgan and Lucio.
Yeah.
They'll, right, they will back you up and
they'll
say,
hear
yeah,
my name and fucking do it.
Well, but also, again, they've been around long enough. They know the protocol. They will say, yeah, we do need to do, again, as heads of the wardens, which, again, is the law enforcement body of the, right, where she's like, I don't know, everybody's real busy out getting killed right now. And Harry's like, okay, just don't take my word for it. Yeah, tell them I said it and make sure, as long as Morgan and Lucio know, they'll take it off you. Just pass the buck, kid. It's yeah. It's not on you. Just that's, yeah, yeah, send it up. So she's like, okay. But again, in all fairness, I've been in that situation at work, and so I'm like, okay, yeah, no, I, here you go. You deal with this. I'm just the messenger.
Especially when, you know, he points out, you know, everyone with any sort of authority is basically dead at this point. It's mostly just a bunch of kids running around like crazy.
The few people with authority are left. But yeah, everyone in the middle. You got the very high up and the very newbies. And yeah, it's everyone in the middle. So it's like, yeah, the governing body is still, but
yeah.
Yep, so there you go. So he's like, all right, hangs up. Well, I've done, like, no turning back now, right? Now he's opened that can of worms. You're not putting the toothpaste back in the tube. It's got to see what happens from here. Huh. And once again, Forthill just pops up at the right time just to check in and see how things are going.
Now, do we think it's irresponsible to not see if a demon is chasing Nelson and to wholly put it on mental stress that Molly has hurt him?
I don't know. I think Harry's got a fair point. And again, he doesn't swear up and down. He says, in my opinion, basically. So again, given Harry's experience with the situation, I think it's kind of fair. I don't know if this was Butcher just maybe giving a little bit of a fair out without having to do a whole lot of extra work on that.
Yeah, I just wonder, because Mickey Malone actually was being terrorized by...
The nightmare.
Kravos.
Kravos, yep.
Yeah, the nightmare, yeah. The nightmare, he was being...
Yes, he was... Yeah, he was hardcore preyed on specifically because, yeah, he was part of that group that took him down. So it was, yeah, revenge upon him.
Yeah, but...
Nelson's is just kind of an unfortunate side effect.
But this is more to what Harry was saying about how, you know, when he was trying to reassure Charity in the last chapter about how, you know, the black magic leaves a stain and things in the Never Never can sense that and they can find you and they can track you down. As we just went through, that's how Molly got kidnapped. They tracked her down because of black magic. Like, that's what I mean. It's like, okay, so if Nelson has been stained by this, he could potentially be open to targeting forever.
Would he be at least a little bit more in a safer position that he's a ward of the church now?
Yeah, but it's not forever. He's not living in this church for the rest of his life.
He's got to leave that room eventually.
He spent 2 or 3 days, not even, he spent one day basically thinking he was being stalked and Harry sent him to the church.
Yeah.
And now he's been at the church for 2-ish days with the timeline,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Fucking Padre is gonna kick him out. You know, they don't actually adopt and run orphanages anymore, is my point, okay?
Yes.
Like, Nelson does have to go to a shelter or something, some way, somehow, a mental hospital, whatever. Yeah. Something has to happen with him.
So,
and it won't be holy ground, most likely.
Yeah, unless they send him to, St. Ignatius.
Go to a covenant. I don't know.
My thing here is that Molly being different because she harbors the power, she has the power in her, and she was using it in a dark way, that's going to... Nelson just had something done to him. So he does still have some kind of a stain on him, but I don't know that it would necessarily be the same beacon, like not the same strength or whatever, because he's not making it, right? She
I just
is
think, like,
the power
he's
source.
He's still a vulnerability because he's been so mentally damaged by anything that stumbles upon him.
Because then Murphy also would have been, for a brief period of time, would have also been attracting a bunch of stuff, too, if that were...
Well, and she was. She was saying she was having really bad nightmares
for
a while.
And I would equate it maybe, that's a good point, a little more to that. Like, she was affected by it, but she, like...
But not drawing
anymore. She was more recoverable, though, in a more recoverable
position. Hers was more incidental, like collateral damage is what these guys were. Mickey Malone was a targeted, enduring attack. So, again, yes, the difference between... You know, being mauled to death by a bear
I just
or
think,
severely
you know,
mauled by
Nelson
a bear.
Nelson has been left open to vulnerability. And something could have found him in the last day
and
or
it,
two.
And it could have, right? Which is kind of what Fort Hill's asking. And Harry is just saying, he's like, I don't think he's actually, again, I think it's more the side effects causing the paranoia than things are actually after him. And now that he's destroyed the fetches and stuff that are running around, right? Less like something's going to have to specifically come looking for Nelson to kind of find him at this
stage. There's a certain amount of less likelihood because now that there's not a concentration of fear that's surrounding him with like a...
He'll kind of blend like into the background a bit.
It's just one solo person's fear versus a lot of people.
And I do like how Harry says, I don't know how to help him. And Fort Hill says,
yeah,
I do. Don't worry. I'll take this burden from you.
Mundane like, human beings. I know how to deal with this.
At least that's
I know about the kids' helpline. I got
again,
you, Dresden.
Yeah. We're going to put him in Sunday school and hopefully that, you know, the grace of God can give him some sort of comfort.
I don't know if you can still do Sunday school at like 19, but yeah, okay. But exactly.
I don't think they're allowed to kick you out. I think if you want to go.
He has the resources.
He has, yes. And that is, but yeah, I would say yeah, a little bit like you say, being like mauled by a bear and having your dog like bite you when you chastise him, you know, I'm like you're still scarred, you're still marked, your dog still maybe, but it's not nearly the same as, you know. So yeah, and same thing I was going to say to that Murphy has obviously somewhat recovered, right? She still carries some of those scars, but has learned to heal and move on. And so I would say again, it's under the same circumstances for Nelson here that, yeah, if given some tools and some whatever, that, again, the further he gets away from it, it's not still happening. But.
Okay, Harry Dresden, what is the plan? It's so good. As we start to unfold it in the next couple of chapters, oh my God, it's so, so fucking good.
My roommate upstairs was probably wondering why I kept stopping and screaming.
you get so hyped going through this and like how he plans to fix this and solve this and get out of this. And it's, oh my God, everything works out.
Right. Even just the beginning of this conversation, right? So Fort Hill is like, you seem to know an awful lot about this process and what's going to happen and how it all works. And Harry's just like, yeah, intimately. And Dresden's like,
I see.
Fort Hill is like, yeah, oh, I begin to understand why.
That's all that psychology training he's got.
That too, right? But again, right, it's...
He's also a part-time detective as well.
Right? In his own way. But exactly, it's like, again, for being... Like, most of us, right? I'm like, I, again, have a vague idea of how, like, the judiciary system works. But obviously, I am not well-versed in it because I am not...
I've never been tried for murder before.
Exactly.
Surprisingly.
Like, I'm not on the side
I've been trying,
of
but.
Being, like, a lawyer or a clerk or just so I don't know. And again, I've thankfully never been on the other end of it in my life where I know how the process works because I've been through it, right? So, again, it does sort of make sense. Like, again, we sort of say, oh, these are a smaller world. And, of course, you know.
There hasn't been one in 10 or 12 years, and we don't even know how many attended that. Harry had a bag over his head. He doesn't know
exactly
who was there.
There have been five people there.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't know the witnesses to these executions, and clearly they're not happening often. So, yes, for Fort Hill to be like, how do you know?
You know an awful lot. And again, right, to me, I tend to take it a little bit granted sometimes because, again, it always happens. Every time you have, like, a Save the World movie, your little group of four people just have the right exact experts you need or whatever, right? Or, I get, not even that, not even the experts, but like I say, I will find it funny where, like, someone will jump in a taxi and the driver will be like, oh, you want to go to, like, our most renowned sanctuary is this, and then the mountains. And I'm like, I couldn't tell you shit about that in my, like, you know what I mean? I'm like,
what? You don't choose your friend group over zombie survival tactics? Come on.
I like you say, even not in a save the world kind of a way.
I have to listen to one more man tell me how he plans to survive the apocalypse, I swear to God.
But, you know, I'm like, yeah, I could tell you basic things, but exactly, even when we have the comic expo and stuff like that, and we get people from from out of town that come. And I mean, like, at one of the last ones, one of the people in my area was wrote out a whole little list of like things that were nearby. They're like, oh, if you want Japanese food, there's this little restaurant here that's like close to like either the convention hall where we were having it or like the hotel where they were staying. She's like, or if you want something cheap, you can go here. If you want this. And I'm like, I would have no fucking, like, I just don't do those things myself. And I just don't know about, I'm like, we got a zoo here. We got a science center, those, but you know what I mean? So I just love it how, again, right, I sort of take it for granted a little bit. Like, well, of course, Harry just knows everything about everything. Because when you need a character in a book or a movie, a show to know, they just do, right? But again, just the fact that, yeah, it is one of those moments where Forge Hill is a little like, yeah, you do seem. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's why. Yeah, because Harry actually went through this. Like you say, it's not that Harry's just that good in all things wisdom. I mean, he says it in the first book that he's like your classic computer geek. Anything to do with magic is what, you know what I mean? But it's like, and it's not just that. That's not why I know like the whole inside of how
I was there.
I had to live through it. So I became real familiar with what the rules are and how not to break them and what happens if you do. But yeah, a little bit more insight. And then Ford Hill's like, so do you think maybe there was a reason? Just when Michael gets sent away? And Harry's like, oh yeah, Harry Dresden, on a mission from God.
I don't want to quote this whole thing, but seriously, the conversation that they have is so important. The reassuring of like, do you think that God wanted me to be there? And Ford Hill being like, I think God considers you one of his own. And he considers the carpenters one of his own. And he is going
I think
to
you're being prepared for something. What? No. Me and the Almighty, we're not. Well, you know. And even just that, where he's like being prepared for something bigger. And Harry's like, oh God, please don't. I don't want bigger.
But you get this whole, okay, so obviously this is a book. Obviously Jim Butcher is the one playing the chess pieces and making sure that Harry always gets the check every single time. I get that. But it's still the way that it works out and the way you've written the book is you're like, holy shit, God is real and God lined this all up so well and it's all gonna work out in the end and holy shit, everyone's such a genius and how the fuck did this all pan out the way it panned out?
Yeah. And
it's
again,
so good.
Harry could still bite it one of these times because free will, just because he's, but exactly right. It gives you that sliver of hope in this moment because of what we've seen, Michael, and the literal miracles and things and just the right time, the right place, and the whole right, all of a sudden it sparks this, like, yeah, Harry maybe is a 50-50, right? He tries to do the great thing. He's got good intentions. So did Molly, though, and look at the trouble got her into. And yeah, he's not eye-to-eye with the whole religion, faith, all of that, you know, but Michael is, so exactly. Might not be lining it up for you, but by lining it up for Michael, you have played a part in this. That, yeah, exactly.
Yes,
like
all, the one person on the council that Michael knows is
happens to
are a tool
intimately. Yeah, and yeah, for all the times Michael has saved your ass, for all the times Michael has come and helped, every time you're like, Michael, I need help. I got a ghost problem, right? Because that's half a charity's thing. He goes, you know, he goes hightailing off after you on these harebrained things that are not. When he goes on God's missions, he's usually okay. He might get banged up a little bit. But when he goes with you, he's putting that extra protection aside. And he definitely comes back fucked up to some degree, right? Now all of that is paying off and stuff like that, right? Like all those times Michael's bailed you out, do you think maybe? Why wasn't Michael off on some other mission when you needed to go fight Egg of the Hagelthorn or whatever, you know? Why was he there when you needed to, right? Yeah.
Exactly. And and this whole, why, God knows everything. He knows past, present, and future at all times, okay? He didn't send Michael off. Michael's exactly where he needs to be right now. And it's just more of that reassuring. It's like, don't worry about it, Dresden. And to the point where you're supposed to say, it's not in your hands anymore, Dresden. Set it aside. God is making sure it'll all work out. And Harry takes that as like, perfect. I'm about to take even more into my hands, expecting God to make sure it all works out. It's a sort of twofold thing where the parables, again, it's like, okay, do you let fate just run its course? Or Harry's like, no, I'm going to
God helps those who helps themselves, right?
Specifically do what the fuck I want, expecting God to fall into line to my plans. And really, God is like, no, these are my plans. Ha ha ha.
Chicken or egg? How did this all...
Also, what is with Harry's needing to summarize everything Fort Hill says? It's everything. With great power comes great responsibility.
That's just Harry. God provides. You're going to say it all like blah, 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 blah. Yeah, this.
But it's like everything. He's condensing everything this man says. Like the whole time Fort Hill's just like, yeah. Yep, that's what I'm saying. Yep.
Yeah, you're listening. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Harry's just like, no sermons, old man.
Right. So in all of this, like, Harry being like, I don't know. And Fort Hill being like, well, maybe this is all, right? And he's like, is there any reason you can't just do something blatantly obvious? Like, why does it have to be mysterious ways all the time? Why can't it? And Forthill just being like, okay, you know, like again, Harry's like, you know, poor man, he's waited like years to have this throwdown with me. And I'm just not playing by any of the rules he has been, you know, he's like, I'm agreeing with the arguments he's trying to set up. I'm like throwing arguments up against the stuff he thought I would agree with. It's just like, he's like, poor Forthill. I was like, I'm just not following the script here. He's been waiting and waiting for this moment. He's probably had this conversation a million times in his head. And I'm just like, not playing by the book right now. Forthill's like, fuck's sake, Harry. Like just every, yeah, you've just got to.
Could you get a note to Michael if you really, really had to? You don't think they've been really, really trying over the last couple of days of Molly being, like, kidnapped and tortured and taken away?
Although
like,
they've been really busy with all that, too, but yeah.
But yeah, but they, like, Charity's already said, we've already tried to contact Michael multiple times, but now Harry's like, but
his
for me, Forthill, do me a favor.
Forthill's
like,
but
okay.
But now I have faith.
But not even real. In all fairness, I don't know, maybe is like the prayers of a priest, you know, straight from your lips to God's ears. You know, like, okay, Charity's got some pull, but
at the beginning of the book, when Harry tries to do a bunch of phone calls to a bunch of people, the archive is one of the people he tries to call and he doesn't get through to her.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's like, again, you know, as we'll learn later, you know.
Yeah.
Write down something. She's got it, bitch. But yes, I very much like Forthill's like, well, I can speak to him to a direct line, obviously, but I only get like one a day. So I try to save it just to like catch him at the end of the night. You know, I don't want to waste it on Charity calling for her daughter.
Right. This guy, so were you talking before about that whole, whatever, and I said like, God helps those that helps. It just reminds me of that like joke too, right? So it's the difference between, like you say, Harry, something like, I'm going to add a whole bunch of my other plans into this. But yeah, with the guys like, you know, flooding happening and whatever, right? And somebody comes by in like a canoe and they're like, oh, hop in. He's like, no, God will save me. I have faith. And they're like, all right. And off they go. And then, you know, it's coming up to like the second floor windows or whatever, you know, and I forget what the first part is because the boat is probably the second part, but whatever, another boat or something, a raft maybe, right? And then a canoe. And he's like, no, God will find on like the roof of his house and the flood and this helicopter comes by and he's like, no, God will save me. I have faith. And they're like, all right. And then of course he drowns and gets up to heaven. He's like, God, I had so much faith. Why didn't you save me? He's like, I sent a raft, a canoe and a helicopter. What more do you want from me? Right? And it's kind of like this whole thing playing out a little bit too, right? Forthill's like, well, he might be sending you a raft. And Harry's like, okay, but can I get the helicopter? Like, you know, not quite, but exactly. He's like, I kind of am having faith. I'm kind of not, but I'm kind of going to pile on a little. Like, if this game
I wanted
good,
God to not drown the earth. That's
yeah,
what I wanted.
Yeah, he's like, I would have just loved if you had come across and said, hey, woohoo, holy angel, I am God. Come, let me take you out of here. You know, why can't you just be obvious about it? But, what, you know, and, but yeah. Harry's like, but I will still just go that one step further. This concludes our episode 17.26, The Tao of Stan. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanalys.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.
Oh, shit, I've been up.